Kevin Spacey is going to be in court today fighting this civil suit brought against him by the actor Anthony Rapp. Now, Anthony Rapp claims that way back in 1986, when Rapp was 14 years old and Kevin Spacey was not even a well-known actor then, he was only 26 or 27, and they were at some party, and Kevin forced himself on Anthony Rapp in a bedroom, and Anthony's suing Kevin for $40 million. Kevin says he has no memory of the incident. He was probably drunk at the time, but he apologized, even though he has no memory. As soon as it happened, his career was totally ruined, although I did have a coffee with him not too long ago, and he's determined to fight all of the charges against him on the legal grounds in the courts, because he says it's the only way I can acquit myself and get my life back on track. To sort it out for us, we brought in Jesse Weber. He's the host of the Law and Crime Network and co-host of WOR's Always in Fashion, which airs Saturday at 8 o'clock and Sunday at 7. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. Good to be with you guys again.
All right, let's say that I'm on the jury here, okay? Here's the big thing, forefront of my mind. How is it possible to prove what happened in a bedroom in 1986, when one person says this happened and the other person says it didn't happen? How do you prove that, to my mind, as a juror?
It's all about Anthony Rapp. It's all about his testimony. It's the same thing that we saw, and I know we bring these comparisons a lot. It's the same thing we saw in the Harvey Weinstein case, when you had claims that were from the 90s, right? And so when you have that, you don't have surveillance tape. You don't have text messages. You don't, and particularly in this case, the problem is, I think what's a significant issue for Mr. Rapp, there was no undressing, there was no kissing, there was no sexual contact. What there really was highly inappropriate behavior. That's the allegation, and inappropriate touching. And so with that, you have a lack of DNA as well. And I agree with you. It's a really tough case. It's such a tough case why, you know, a lot of these times you don't see criminal prosecutions. But having said that, the standard is much lower in a civil case, and that's what this is. It all becomes whether or not the jury believes Anthony Rapp. This entire case falls on his shoulders, and if he doesn't succeed as a believable witness, this case will fall. That's exactly what it's about.
Well, if I'm on the jury, I want to know why this case is from 1986. Why wasn't this filed 30 years ago, 25 years? 20, you know, what are we doing here all these years later? I want to hear a valid reason from Mr. Rapp about why this is taking so long.
Okay, that's a really good question. I think that's on the question on a lot of jurors' minds and what could be on their mind. The best way to answer that is to say Kevin Spacey was at the height of the entertainment industry. It only came forward when the Me Too movement hit and these rumblings about Kevin Spacey came forward. I felt it was the time to come forward. I felt protected to come forward. I think it's a conversation that we see continually with a lot of these A-list celebrities and these very high-powered people. You do not feel comfortable. You do not feel safe coming forward for all these years. Now, someone can look at that and say, oh, you know, it's looking a little fishy. It's looking a little opportunistic. You're jumping on the bandwagon. I think that's the best bet to explain it, because I think it was, 2017, 2018 when he came forward. Me Too hit. The whole culture changed, and we started seeing these new allegations coming forward because people started feeling protected and safe to come forward. I think that's the best argument.
Now, again, I'm sitting on the jury, and I'm a little cynical here, okay? Anthony Rapp is an actor, right? So he's pretty highly skilled in going in front of people and convincing them that he is the character that he's playing. Would you think that might be tugging away at some jurors' minds?
So is Johnny Depp, right? I mean, Johnny Depp gets on the stand. This guy, I'll be the first to tell you, I was cynical. I mean, I really was skeptical when Johnny Depp was about to take the stand. I said, this guy's the best actor in the world. How am I going to be able to believe it? I watched him in that courtroom. I watched him on TV. For whatever reason, he came off entirely credible in my eyes, and I think in the jury's mind. So even though someone is an actor, they're still a human being. That's the key. I'm not acting, played a ton of roles before. This is who I am. And Mr. Rapp is going to have to figure out how to tell that story without making it look like he's telling the story, without giving a monologue, because the last thing that he wants is for him to look like Amber Heard, who appeared rehearsed and appeared to be delivering a monologue.
Hey, Jesse, moving on to another high-profile case. They've reached a settlement. the production company, Alec Baldwin, the movie Rust, with the tragic death of the cinematographer, Lena Hutchins. So they've reached a monetary settlement. Does that get Baldwin and everyone else off the hook, or will there still be criminal charges?
Okay, that's a great question. First, I'll tell you I'm not surprised by this. Does it get him off the hook of looking like a bad guy? In a way, right? Because if Alec Baldwin were going to continue to deny this and fight Lena Hutchins' family in court, that optically wouldn't have looked right, okay? Because Alec Baldwin has always made it seem this is a tragic accident. I feel terrible for her family. And I will tell you, I think he did the right thing. Now, we don't know the circumstances of the settlement, but it appears to be a significant payout in a way that was going to properly compensate Lena Hutchins' family, particularly her son. Optically, he did the right thing by trying to settle this. That doesn't excuse him from criminal charges. You can have a settlement in the civil arena. The criminal investigation is still ongoing. I believe the last that I saw into this, that there are about five people that are being the targets of this investigation. And it's possible Alec Baldwin is one of them, right? There is this whole back and forth with him saying he didn't pull the trigger. The FBI analysis coming back and saying it's impossible that he didn't pull the trigger. That's an important legal question, and that could also raise criminal charges. So even though he has settled this civilly, it doesn't mean it's the end of his troubles. And by the way, there are other civil lawsuits, but really I think we're all talking about the criminal arena. He could be criminally charged. This doesn't change it anyway.
Criminally charged, though, I mean, clearly he did not intend to kill this woman. So what would it be? Negligent? What would the criminal charge
right.
be exactly?
I don't think anything significant like that, or I think we can all agree there was no intent there. But was there recklessness? Was there negligence? You can have criminal negligent homicide. You know, and I think when you look at those statutes, they were built for a reason. A lot of times the cases that we all cover here, guys, are always about what did someone intend to do? What did someone intend to do? That's not always the case. And in this situation, I think there is a whole long line of a process here about how did the bullets get into the gun? Who handled what? And at the end of the day, it was Alec Baldwin who was handling that weapon. And it was Alec Baldwin who decided to go on ABC News and say he didn't pull the trigger. And when the FBI came back with a completely different conclusion, that's a problem. And so I think that Alec Baldwin's going to be on the lookout for charges. And we know that the armorer, Gutierrez Reed, came forward and said, hey, listen, this settlement's a great thing. I hope it convinces the prosecutors to not go forward with charges because she's really nervous as well. I think there's a lot of people caught up in this case to figure out what exactly happened.
All right, Jesse Weber, check out his show, Always in Fashion, this Saturday night, 8 o'clock, and Sunday at 7. Thanks, Jesse.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks, hey, coming up next, Brian Stern. He's the co-founder of Project Dynamo. Now, he's down in Florida with Project Dynamo, searching for survivors, helping in the cleanup in the wake of Hurricane Ian. Brian Stern is going to join us when we come back.